There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And I don't want to make light of anybody's substance abuse issues. I know the president's working real hard to solve those throughout the country, but it's a little hard to believe that Burisma hired Hunter Biden to resolve their international disputes when he could not resolve his own dispute with Hertz rental car over leaving cocaine and a crack pipe in the car.
Now, I just got a question, Dalton, as we get started with Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean, live local talk over the next couple hours. I'll give you the phone numbers in a second. But as you hear that, as Congressman Gates says, it's written down into the testimony, is that the first time, and I'm not blaming Congressman Gates, he's just telling the story, but is that the first time crack pipe has been said on the floor? Is that the first time that the into the registry there, into taken down in perpetuity from this Congress, crack pipe makes it into the testimony? Hey, that's where we are in what's happening in Washington right now, as the House Judiciary Committee will vote today on these articles of impeachment. At least that's what we're hearing. Now, remember, this is a committee vote, not the full House. I do want to get into it. We'll talk more about the full House here in just a little bit. Could Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, have having some more defectors here, Democrats, that are not going to vote for impeachment? We'll talk about that. But back to square one. We got lots coming up on the show today. I just want to go with this Matt Gaetz stuff for a second. Representative Gaetz, as he is expressing his opinions here. Yeah, so first of all, he puts crack pipe goes into the record. And then he also talks about this, whether this is all about, not about the Constitution. This is not about being loyal citizens, but this is about election time.
They have taken a look at the candidates that they have in the Democratic field, and they've realized that they have to create this impeachment platform because their candidates are incapable of defeating President Trump in a fair fight. You're losing ground. You're losing ground with the media. You're losing ground with the voters. And you're even losing ground among your own Democrat colleagues. I believe the public reporting I've seen that some of your more moderate members in districts that President Trump won are begging you to pursue something other than impeachment. This bloodlust for impeachment is not going to be visited on us or President Trump. It's going to be visited on your own members, and they're asking you not to do this.
All right. You know, speaking of what is being asked for, I think this is worth talking about. What I have heard, and we're going to get into this defection story in just a little bit in this hour about Democrat defections and what that could mean. I mean, because if they call for the vote, they got the votes. Okay. Democrats have got the votes in the House. If they call for the vote, they have the votes. But is just having the 118 needed to make this article of impeachment move out, is that enough for Nancy Pelosi, since she's kind of been pulled kicking and screaming into this? Does she want to see more votes for impeachment on the Democrat side? So that's part of where this is going. As you have two things happening, you have, of course, Republicans pushing back, getting on record. But don't you know one of their audiences? Number one, their audience is going to be Republican voters back in their district. Matt Gaetz right across the Florida line, but in different parts of the country, Republicans are going to be saying what they're saying to defend the president and to tell their constituents back home, look what I'm doing. But another part of this, I think, is if there are some defections already happening among Democrats in the House, wouldn't there be a motivation to kind of keep pushing them if you think some more people are, he's toeing the line here. We're not sure if he's going to, you know, defect or not. If the rhetoric is expressly over the top today, will from Republicans in the House, will that sway any more Democrat votes? It's some of the strategy that's happening. And of course, like I said, may possibly be the first time, I think, not that crack cocaine hasn't been in the federal record, or but crack pipe. We'll have to look, Google that. Has crack pipe been spoken in the House Judiciary Committee or anywhere in the Congress? Now, have they talked about crack? Sure. Crack pipe. I'm not exactly up on that one. Coming right back, by the way, on the way, Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:15, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Thursday, and we'll get right back into the ridiculousness in Washington that actually they're on a little bit of a break here to go take some other votes, and then the House Judiciary Committee might vote on these articles of impeachment today. But let's talk about what's right with our country, and what's right is what's happening right now with Team Fight or Die, as they are, well, let me find out. Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. Is this year's crew, are they on the water now, Bryant?
Yeah, the race. Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Hey.
Yeah, the race kicked off at around 10:30 La Gomera local time. That would have been about 4:30, I think. Yeah, if my math is right. 4:30 Mobile time this morning. The team set off at their official race time started at 11:10 a.m. local. La Gomera time, so they're out. Currently, we're looking. I'm tracking them about 25 miles out, give or take.
That's probably when they stop seeing La Gomera, right? Or how far out can you see? Those islands are pretty tall, though. Those islands.
Yeah,
are...
the islands have a lot of tall mountains. You know, it's sort of a volcanic island system. So you can see those islands for a couple of days.
Oh wow!
And yeah, and they have one more island that they have to bypass. There's actually, they have to meet a waypoint out in the ocean so they don't get caught up in the currents close to that island. So the race committee essentially steers them on a waypoint, and once they are past that island, then it's, you know, Katie, bar the doors. Time to go.
I love talking about this with you because y'all, you know how if you're watching sporting events, the best commentators are people that played the sport and did the thing. Well, in transatlantic rowing competitions, there's not that many people that can fit that bill. Lucky for us, Mobile and my buddy Bryant Knight did this last year. So what is that moment? You say it's a couple days into it when you finally lose sight of all land and here you go.
Yeah. You know, the start, the first couple of days are such a blur because you're so, you're amped up. There's just there's a lot of emotion going on, and your body's getting used to, you know, over 24 hours, over 48 hours of 3 hours on, 3 hours off on the oars. And so it was really, for me, and I think a lot of my crewmates also could say the same thing. We remember the race day, we remember the launch, but that 24, 48 hours out is such a blur, and then it really doesn't hit you until then it's, you know, till it's time to get back on the oars, and you're like, man, I got to do this for another 3 hours.
And it's shift change time. Let's talk about this year and the race. Maybe I need to back up for a second. People that hadn't heard you and I talking over time and what happened last year, remind folks the scope of this. So they're leaving La Gomera in the Canary Islands in the Wubby, in the rowboat, and they're rowing to where?
Okay, so, you know, our team, Fight or Die, we race in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, and the race is a 3,000-mile ocean rowing race. This year, there's 35 teams. There's 16 different nations represented, and we are the only U.S. Nation, you know, racing against everybody this year. So that's kind of neat. It's our second year to race this race, but we start out of La Gomera, Canary Islands, which is about 200 miles west, due west off of Morocco. It's a Spanish colony, and La Gomera is the same island that Christopher Columbus launched to discover the New World. So we race 3,000 miles in a rowboat. Our boat is 28 feet long. It's you know, five layers of carbon fiber. It's very small when you're out there in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
It's very seaworthy and able to get across the ocean. So this year we have four new veterans. Our skipper, Carl Christensen, who is a Naval Academy graduate and Navy veteran. He was a Submariner. We have two Marines, John Fannin and Evan Stratton, and we have Luke Colton, who is our Army veteran. So that's the team this year. And the finish line is in Antigua, Barbuda, so it's in Nelson's Dockyard in Antigua. We don't know, you know, you can follow the race on an app called YB Races, and you can become one of the infamous dot watchers, because it becomes addictive after a while.
Oh, beyond addictive.
Trying to wonder what the team is doing when you're out and you can see them, you know, at their GPS location.
Yeah, it's neat. You know, if people go on there right now, and you can go to like Google Play or the iTunes Store, and get this app. It's free. You can get the app, and right now, you know, the teams are all fairly close, and you can get in. But you start seeing the separation happen, and then you can kind of track your team, and oh, they're gaining on so and so. I was watching y'all last year, and going, oh, you know, they're here now, and look at this other team, and why did that other team get that far off? And it is addictive.
Yeah, it's really a. Everybody's sort of jockeying for position, you know, especially with the fours. They launched the fours first during the race start, and so it's a jockey for position. And then you start to spread out as the days go on, and then you may run in. You can definitely see them, you know, on the AIS system, and then kind of match them up on your charts just to identify where they are, and then you start building your strategy. How are you going to pass the next team?
Yep.
But you know, it's so much comes into play, and not only the strength of, you know, rowing the boat, but you know, understanding the weather and hoping that you have some decent winds behind you that can push the boat in the direction you want to go.
But I want to, before we wrap up, and I can't wait to talk to you more about this, and hopefully, like you and I were talking about off the air, just the same way I got to talk to y'all from the satellite phone last year, I'll get to talk to this year's team as they're making their way across. But remind folks, yes, you're doing it because it needs to be done. Somebody needs to paddle those thousands and thousands of miles across the Atlantic. But y'all are doing it, veterans teams, to bring attention to what, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, that's how Fight or Die got started. Fight or Die is a veteran nonprofit organization that encourages veterans to do extraordinary things. We are partnered with the University of Denver, the Sturm Specialty of Military Psychology. That's the only program like it in the United States. They train students in their doctoral years who want to be clinical psychologists to work with veterans. There's a clinic called the Sturm Clinic at the university, so veterans are able to be seen and treated. And it gives those students an opportunity to learn and work. And what they're doing with us is they want to understand what it's like for people to be under a lot of stress for over a long period of time. And very, very similar to military service people in deployed that feel the, you know, very similar stresses. And so there's a relationship there. And we, you know, because of our team and our ability to race last year and this year and next year and the following year, and hopefully from years to come, we will be able to draw that research and turn it into something that's actually useful for our future military service members.
Well said. And one of the things that's new this year, you and I have talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I want people to know that they can go to the Facebook page for Fight or Die, and that's O-A-R, y'all, Fight or Die. There's a way to sponsor, because y'all are, you know, this is a 501c3 charity. Y'all only get money when people donate and help you out. There's a way to sponsor by Nautical Mile out there. Talk about that.
Yes, sir. We started a campaign called the Nautical Mile Campaign, and so you'll start seeing this with the situational reports that are coming out when you follow us on our Facebook or our Instagram page. But it's essentially, you can adopt your own nautical mile that has been literally covered by the team as they row. I think I have to look at it. It's been like yesterday since I looked out. I think we're about 620 miles sponsored, and we got 3,000 miles total to go. So if anybody wants to sponsor our nautical mile, please go to our Facebook page, go to our website, and that's www.usbetrow.org, and or go to our Instagram page and look us up. But that program is, so far, there's a lot of generation. There's people that, you know, they want to actually own one of those nautical miles that the team has literally crossed. So we're super excited about that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. We'll put that link up, Dalton, if we can. We'll get that link through on our Facebook page as well. So people, y'all can go straight there or go to the Fight or Die platforms on Facebook and on Instagram. All right, well, I know you're very busy because you're getting the team, your team this year rolling, but we're going to check back with you throughout the next few weeks and into next year as the team is making their way across the Atlantic. Bryant, as always, man, cheers to the whole team and you for what y'all are doing, and we're just excited for you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate, you know, your support, and everybody else is listening out there. It just means a lot to this team and this organization. You guys are just awesome.
We love you back home here, Bryant. You know that. We do.
So I'm a homeboy at heart, that's for sure.
All right, good stuff, man. Tell the team I said, what do? You don't break a leg. Don't break an oar. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, Bryant Knight checking in from Team Fight or Die. Y'all, it really is an amazing story how they started this. And if you're new to this discussion, you might not know, as we followed it last year, they do their training here in Mobile at a Buccaneer Yacht Club. So Bryant Knight from Mobile and would have his team, the inaugural team, trained here, and then this year's team trained here as well at a Buccaneer Yacht Club to go row across the Atlantic. And number one, what an amazing feat to do. Number two, the veteran teams and bringing attention to issues that need more attention and more study for our vets. So love what they're doing. And yeah, the app, by the way, the app, if you go, I'll tell you again here, if you go to like for me, because I'm an old guy that doesn't have I'm not the only person here that doesn't have an iPhone, but I'm one of the few. Only person in my house that doesn't have an iPhone. I have an Android phone. So I go to Google Play. If you go to Google Play, their Play Store, and just search YP. Okay, it's YP is the name of the app. The top one that shows up, it's got like a yellow icon. You'll go on there, and it'll say, once you load it, it's a free app. Once you load it, you can say, it gives you a selection of yachting races going on that you can follow. You'll get the Talisker Whiskey Challenge. Okay, that's the one you click, and then you say, like, yes to all the things, and that pops up. You see the little, like, icons for the boats as they race across the Atlantic. So you can watch it, check back at something. You know, if you're stuck at the dentist's office waiting to get called back or whatever it is, you can follow that in the evenings, check out where they are as well. And also you can do that same thing through iTunes for your fancy Apple people. You can do that or on Facebook, facebook.com/fightordie. Remember, O-A-R, Fight or Die. Check it out there. And on Instagram as well, it's Fight or Die. Online, it's US Vet Row. All right. So check it out. Do that. Maybe if you got a chance to sponsor one of those miles for the team as well. It's just a great thing going on. All right, 12:28. And before we get back into what's happening in Washington, I read some fantastic texts from y'all. Fantastic. Okay, well, maybe not all. Some of them are fantastic texts from y'all. I would say Jason asked a question. Jason, this is, you may be right. I wondered when Representative Matt Gaetz said crack pipe in his testimony there, his questioning. Right here, can we go back? Can we go back and get Matt Gaetz? It's this right here. All right, we'll go to this again. When Matt Gaetz said,
and I don't want to make light of anybody's substance abuse issues. I know the president's working real hard to solve those throughout the country, but it's a little hard to believe that Burisma hired Hunter Biden to resolve their international disputes when he could not resolve his own dispute with Hertz rental car over leaving cocaine and a crack pipe in the car.
Okay, so I believe cocaine has been said many times, I'm sure, in the Federal Register, but crack pipe. Well, Jason on the text line suggested maybe there is discussion of one-time Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry. Jason, I can't argue with that. I would have to go back and look. So maybe crack pipe has already been said in the hallowed halls of the House of Representatives. I would be, you're right. You may be bringing something up there. Also, this unnamed texter says, I got to agree with this too. It would be great to see the word crack pipe written in calligraphy. I don't think they do that anymore, but would it be nice, like some sepia-colored, you know, like old scroll paper and in fancy calligraphy, the word crack pipe. Hey, it's 2019. What are you going to do? Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5. Glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I would just suggest maybe Team Fight or Die could be added to the Alabama End of the Year ranks. Now, the team members this year, none of them from Alabama, but they train here. I don't know. I mean, by the way, too, welcome. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. My name is Sean. Phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106, also the same for the text line. And on the text line and on our emails, we're taking your nominations for this year's Alabamian of the Year. This will be the third year we do it. Once again, it's not just a person. It can be a person. It's been critters, people, groups of people, events. It's just that thing, that person, that entity that most influenced the news cycle in Alabama in 2019. Now, we let y'all put all the nominations in, and it doesn't have to be for the positive. It could be, I mean, it's not against it being positive, but it doesn't have to be. It's that thing that most moved the needle in Alabama in 2019. So you put your nominations in now through our text line, through the email, and do us a favor, because we get so many texts, so many emails. If you'll just put Alabamian of the Year or my nomination or something, that helps us when we're looking through the text coming through. We're trying to cut and paste your nominations into other documents. It helps us get them in there. And then we'll see the brackets coming up on Monday, and you start voting, and we winnow it down, and by the end of the month, we have our Alabamian of the Year. All right, so it's all you. Unlike Time Magazine, where some group of starch collars sitting somewhere decides it's going to be this, and they roll with it. Y'all nominate the people, and then y'all vote it, okay? Oh, speaking of voting, they're voting again the United Kingdom today. It seems like they're voting all the time on that. It's like that's a parliamentary thing, right? You know, I mean, you get a vote of no confidence, and then you back to the polls. All right. Speaking of voting, too, we'll get into this House Judiciary Committee vote that's coming up today. Do that in a second. While I'm sitting with a voting theme, the judges voted last night. I was one of those judges, and crowned this year the inaugural. And I know this is not the official name, but I'm calling it the Mr. and Ms. Law Enforcement Officer Pageant. So that was held at Mod Pizza last night. It was a benefit for Families of the Fallen, a charity we think a whole bunch of here around FM Talk 106.5. And we'll talk more about Families of the Fallen as we get closer to Mardi Gras and talk about the float and stocking the float. But a fundraiser last night with a beauty pageant with members of MPD there, and also Mobile County Sheriff's Office. And MPD Officer Nathaniel McCarty won for the gentleman. And Detective with MPD Ophelia Wethington winning for the ladies category there in last night's beauty pageant. So congratulations to them, and big thank you to all the folks putting that on and inviting me out to be a judge. It was a lot of fun, and yeah, we for sure will see you there next year. All right, so a couple things going that are moving at the same time. Number one, House Judiciary Committee it might be voting today on these articles of impeachment, right? It has to come out of committee to go to the full House. And when it gets to the full House, what's going to happen? I mean, if the vote, I've told you over time, and Lord knows, it's, you probably know this on your own, if Republicans, Democrats, anybody, if they call for a vote, they have the votes. I mean, that's how the game's played. You go around, make sure you got the votes, then you call for the vote when you have the votes to have it go your way, if you're in control. And with Democrats in control, Speaker Pelosi in control of the House, when she calls for the vote, that means she has the votes. Although, there might be a wrinkle to this. So the story from Politico, I'm going to read you what Sarah Farish wrote here, and then maybe put a wrinkle in the mix. Okay, she writes, Democratic leaders are privately expecting no more than a half dozen defections on next week's vote to impeach President Donald Trump, even as many of their most endangered lawmakers remain publicly mum on their decision. Just hours before the Judiciary Committee meets to mark up the articles of impeachment, that's what's going on right now, battleground Democrats say they are still deliberating on what will be the biggest vote of their brief congressional careers. Quote here from Representative Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, it'll probably be the most serious consideration I'll give anything that I've ever considered in my 1 year in Congress. I'm going to do exactly what I was trained to do as a CIA officer. I'm going to look at the full body of the information, read it thoroughly, and make an objective decision. End quote. Now, wouldn't that be great if everybody worked off that? I don't know that she does, but if everybody in the House worked off that, that would be a good thing. Party officials say there is zero concern on being short on votes, with nowhere near 18 Democrats expected to buck their party on the House floor. We'll get back to that in a second. Senior Democrats say privately that they hope to contain their losses to under double digits and are so far on track to do so, according to multiple lawmakers and aides. Even if some moderate Democrats decide to split their vote on the two articles of impeachment, Pelosi and her leadership team would have plenty of room. Democrats who have 233 members in their caucus are also expecting support from the one independent on impeachment, so there are four vacancies. But vote counting is likely to be a guessing game until it reaches the floor itself, with few Democrats seeing any incentive to preview their position. Speaker Pelosi has told members there will be no attempt by the whip team, there's people trying to get the votes whipped up, to sway them ahead of the vote. I can't believe they typed that. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who, by the way, is wise as they come in Washington. Though people, oh, she's just a silly y'all. At your own peril, doubt the power of Nancy Pelosi. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has told members there will be no attempt by the whip team to sway them ahead of the vote. Come on. She said at a Wall Street Journal event on Monday, I haven't counted votes, nor will I. Okay, there's a line I don't believe. But by next Wednesday, Pelosi and her team will know the precise number of Democrats who will vote against removing Trump from office. Democratic leaders, however, are most concerned about a group of 5 to 7 members in heavily pro-Trump districts. Now, remember, these are Democrats that won. We've talked about this quite a few times. It's not an issue here in Alabama, but as you look at the political landscape around the country, Democrats winning in House districts, that those districts went for President Trump. There are two are all but certain to oppose President Trump's impeachment. Representatives Colin Peterson of Minnesota and Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey. Both lawmakers voted against the resolution formally initiating the impeachment inquiry, and both have shown no signs of changing their views. Several other moderates are on the radar, including Representatives Anthony Brindisi of New York, Jared Golden of Maine, and Kendra Horn of Oklahoma, all whose districts went for Trump by 10 points or more in 2016. Now, I'd love to go by district and district and see how bad was the Republican candidate that they ran against that the Republican didn't win on the coattails of President Trump. Said Brindisi, Golden, and Horner are among 31 House Democrats in pro-Trump districts, including 22 freshmen who have felt the most intense anxiety within their caucus over this year's impeachment drive. So, okay, it goes down and talks more about like Joe Cunningham in South Carolina, Max Rose in New York, Ben McAdams in Utah. These are Democrats that are in these pro-Trump districts. So their congressional district, if you take it out and cut out that district, that area voted for President Trump in 2016. And like they pointed out, and sometimes by 10 points, 10% or more. So what do these people do? And I think this, let me go back now. I said we'd come back to it. This is the issue, because 233 members of the House are Democrats. And that's what I think Nancy Pelosi would like to see. If because remember, she was drug into this, right? Nancy Pelosi was drug into this by not just the squad, but people on the far left of the Democrats was pushed in this, cajoled. I don't think she saw a political expedient way to do this, so she didn't do it until she was pushed into it. If they had 233, she would feel good. But if this ends up being like 218, now once again, 218, they'll get it through. They'll be fine. But what does that say? What does that say to all the 100 hours of impeachment hearings, everything going on? And what does that say when you look at if that many Democrats defect? If it's 4, if it's 8, it's 10, if it's 12, and it probably won't be as many as 12, but if it was, what does that say for where the presidential votes will come from next year? Because if those Democrats in those districts were scared to vote along with the rest of the Democrats on this impeachment move, don't tell me they're doing it out of their soul. I wish they would. I think that would be great. I think there may be one or two cases of that. But the rest of them are weighing the option of not winning the next time they run for office in the House. So if that says something, then that tells you something about the political landscape when it comes to the way votes will break in the presidential election. And so I think Nancy Pelosi wants to see that number is darn close to 233 before they call the vote. So don't tell me they're not whipping the votes and not looking at the votes before they call this, because they have the majority. The Democrats have the votes. They could call this thing. I know it's next week. They could call this thing tomorrow, except they're off today, right? After today. They could call for the vote, and they could get it passed. But it's a bigger signal, the number of Democrats that buck the trend here and that don't vote along with the other Democrats. And you heard they talk about splitting. There's many members of the House, Democrats, that have been asking to split the impeachment vote. In other words, they get to vote on the article of impeachment, number one being this obstruction of justice, number two, the obstruction of Congress. Sorry, you want to say, okay, well, when you go to run for office, you say, well, I did vote on the one, but not the other. So the story is important, and Politico has it up. A couple other places have it up. I think it's worth telling that the number of defections within the Democrats will say a lot, because I'm seeing, you know, what I'm seeing from the Republicans in the Senate that have been talking so far. Now, there'll be some exceptions. I think there'll probably be at least three Republicans that break, and you could probably guess who they are. But other than that, the Republicans and the Republicans in the House are as united as I think I can ever remember seeing the Republican Party. It's, yes, Republicans sometimes are in unanimity on something that's not a contentious issue, but this is a contentious issue, and you have the Republicans all standing together. Interesting situation playing out right now in Washington, and as they tell me, they're not whipping the votes. They're whipping the votes like crazy up there. So that's what's happening. We'll go back and hopefully get a little bit of audio when they reconvene up in the House Judiciary Committee, see how that vote breaks down as it comes out of there. Do that in a couple minutes. And also coming up after 1 o'clock. So the City Council voted. Speaking of people being united, Mobile City Council voting unanimously this week to enter into a contract to run Hank Aaron Stadium. When's the last time we had a unanimous city council vote on anything big? That happened. Dale Leash will join us coming up after 1 o'clock. He's with Landnap to talk more about that. Y'all stay close. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. By the way, show is on the road tomorrow, and we're going to be live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Your chance to come in and save the tax. They're paying the tax on the items for you. How about that tomorrow? Of course, there's no tax on bullion and you know, the money part of it, but tomorrow they're going to forego the taxes as you buy different gift items at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Plus, they have big drawings going on. Talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. And do drop hot dogs. They're hooking you up with lunch tomorrow, so come by and see us at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Always a fun time. Come out there and do the show. So make sure during lunch sometime, stop by and see us tomorrow. All right. I'm going to get to a good point. Good point. I'm reading through the text here. And this one from, who sent this to me? Got to get the right way. U-Man. All right, thank you. Yeah, we're talking about the drug thing, and you're right, U-Man, because I was stuck on the fact that Representative Gates said crack pipe in the halls of the House, in the hallowed halls of the less austere body in the House. And then U-Man said, didn't What's-His-Face say that when he started reading the articles of impeachment, he felt like he had just dropped acid? Yeah, that was Senator Kennedy yesterday, and I didn't get that one played yesterday. Let's play. We'll play part of that clip because it's something. You're right, U-Man. So now we have acid was said in the Senate chambers and then during the Horowitz testimony, and then in the House we had crack pipe. So can we go to the dropping acid audio?
After I haven't read the entire report. I'm about 70% of the way through, but I'm going to finish it. It's tedious.
Yes.
I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. It's supposed to be tedious.
Right.
After about 15% of the way through, it made me want to heave. After about 25% of the way through, I thought I dropped acid. It's surreal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
I've read it multiple times, and every time I read it,
let me ask you this. How many members...
All right, so you got the pertinent part there. Would you go, if you can't picture Senator Kennedy, do yourself a favor. Hit up Google and go look at Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy, and then listen to him say, did Senator Kennedy drop acid? John Kennedy, out of Louisiana, a Republican. Did he? Google him, look at the picture of Senator Kennedy, and then put those words coming out of his mouth. Put it like in a bubble, like a cartoon bubble coming out of his mouth. It's amusing. Once again, it's our government, right? In a republic, we get the government that we deserve. I guess that's... That's a tell on us. Oh, and then Monty said, yeah, Monty, it's funny. Let's do this because Monty sent a text in. We'll do this last segment here. This is going to be just bouncing subject to subject. This is like sitting on the front porch of the house visiting with folks. Because Monty said, the Democratic Party is an example of when uniform and ignorant people vote after they elected Hank Johnson that said Guam would tip over and capsize. Y'all remember that? We played that audio a lot of times in the past. So Hank Johnson, remember he was getting that... questioning there in the House. This has been, what was that, Monty? 6 years, 5 years ago? It's been a while. And when he said he was worried about, I think we had the number of troops on Guam, something to the effect, and he was worried that if you had too many people on the island, it would tip over, or as we put it around here, tump over, like a pull raft or something like that. And then it's funny you say that, because Monty, today, Hank Johnson was commenting on what Matt Gaetz had to say about the crack pipe.
The pot calling the kettle black is not something that we should do. I don't know what members, if any, have had any problems with substance abuse, been busted in DUI. I don't know. But if I did, I wouldn't raise it against anyone on this committee. I don't think it's proper.
Okay, so I just want to point out that on both sides of the aisle, this is who we have elected to represent us in our system of government. There's probably some more. I know, I see the text line popping. Maybe more. There's been more of the comments about we have drinking, we have pot, we have acid, we have crack pipes now in the testimony. What a time we're having in Washington. They're waiting right now on the impeachment articles to resume. It'll work this way, so the House Judiciary Committee will most likely vote today. It looks like the vote of the full House sometime next week. Of course, you have the pressure of them wanting to get going, you know, get that vote done and get going. And, you know, get back to districts. So, somebody, Sherry's upset with me? Okay, let me read this. Sherry's upset. None of what's going on in our House of Representatives at this time is in the least bit abusing. Giggling like a schoolboy is shameful. Oh, it's not like a school. I could give you giggling like a schoolboy, but pointing out, I'm sorry, Sherry. If you don't point out and lampoon and satirize what is beneath the office, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Satire and lampooning is a function of we the people to comment on what happens in the halls of government. It has been since the founding of our republic, and it is here in 2019. Speaking of which, did I point out that they shut down Florida Street yesterday to celebrate the reopening of Florida Street? Okay, point that out. That was how they celebrated reopening of Florida Street, by shutting it down for parade. But they did have the Excelsior band plan, which was very, very cool. Oh, and Councilman Fred Richardson yesterday related the pain that was felt by people with Florida Street shut down to childbirth, and then said, but the finished Florida Street is like the new baby. Nobody really worries about the pain of childbirth when the new baby is there. So, how do I do a schoolboy? Schoolboy giggle. Do I have to dress up like Angus from AC/DC when I do it? It'd be a good look for me. I got great stems on me. Sure, great stems. Y'all see my legs.